What is up, citizen detectives? It is the Yellow Jackets Buzz podcast, and here we are talking about episode 4 of season 2, Old Wounds. We're going to do a recap, a review, we're going to do a deep dive, we're going to discuss, dissect, speculate, theorize, and everything else you would come to expect from this podcast. I'm Glenn, joined by Issa as always, and we are here tonight. We just finished watching episode 4. It went live on Paramount Plus and Showtime. It always goes live on Showtime first, it seems like. Paramount Plus constantly have to sort of F5 refresh that to get the episode to come up.
Yeah, it didn't go live. I used Paramount Plus. It took a little while for me for it to go live.
You know, I'm so diehard now about getting this right away that I think I'm subscribed to Paramount Plus and Showtime because I have to.
Well, you have to. You have to.
Yeah. Because
I've had Paramount Plus, and then when they started doing the Yellow Jackets, they made me get an additional subscription. So you have to have both, even if you're just watching through Paramount Plus.
So crazy. But tonight's episode, oh my God, if you haven't watched the episode, stop listening to this podcast. Go watch the episode, then come back. We'll walk you through it. Go beat by beat, scene by scene. Go watch it. You need to see it because some stuff happened. And what's interesting is, there was a lot of speculation about what was going to happen tonight. Some of it right, some of it wrong. It was a little over the place, but this was pretty cool. And some theories were disproven tonight. We had some revelations, some things happened, and there's some cracks in the story. Even though you think you might know where it's going, they're throwing some swerves at us here.
But yeah, I love this episode a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, Issa, give me your high-level thoughts before we start the dive-in.
Well, I mean, the first thing that I want to say is I said that Ty was my favorite last season. I just had a feeling. I think Ty is the powerful one. I think Ty is the real Quinn, like Antler Quinn, after tonight.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see, right?
Maybe.
Well, it could
You're
be.
You're in more denial than she is.
Because I think, I'm telling you, Natalie tonight, I like last week, I was like, I think Natalie is a threat to Lottie. And after this week, I'm like, oh, yeah, Natalie's taken over one cult member at a time. That was my thought after tonight. You know,
Natalie's a good person at heart.
Natalie tonight, Juliette Lewis had some critiques last season of Natalie's lack of agency and control over her life. And I hope Juliette Lewis likes the character that Natalie's becoming this season because I'm really digging this. And I think the Natalie we're seeing now in present day reminds me more of teenage Natalie. And I get it. I get where Natalie, due to all the trauma, had her substance issues, had things she needs to deal with that derailed her sense of agency, momentum, and control in her life. So I understand that. And hopefully she's going to get that back. Let's dive into this episode, shall we? And go yes. Scene by scene, beat by beat. And we open with Thaisa, Ty. Now, I like this on Reddit. Shout out to the Yellow Jacket subreddit. I like that we've been using Untied, Mere Ty. And someone said, if good Ty is Ty, then bad Ty is Issa.
Okay, I like it.
I thought, yeah, well, you split Thaisa in half and, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Yes, but we get Ty here at the beginning and she's out with Van and they're looking for symbols because Ty knows where they are. And Van is trying to figure out what is going on. Why does she have this connection in the woods? Why does she know where these symbols are, how to find them, and trying to figure out where each of them are? What do they mean? Now, I had a feeling when she busted out the map. Did you think when she busted out at the map, you were like, the map's going to make the symbol?
1,000%. I knew it. I knew it right away.
Yeah. They didn't even need to show that to us. They could have just said, like you already know. If you've ever watched a TV show, movie, or read a book, you know that the map of the symbols is going to make the symbol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but the show started, and once again, I mean, there's a lot of connections and I might be jumping back and forth here, but Ty is not embracing this, right? And then we see later on Lottie go to the psychologist and they're trying to tell her to embrace these things. And I feel like maybe the issue with Ty is that she's in denial. I think she's the real powerful one here now.
Yeah, I think, look, if I'm seeing another being, especially a man with no eyes, a sharp-dressed man, as ZZ Top would sing. With no eyes, if I'm seeing that and I have this connection to the other side, I would probably want to think, this is just a recurring nightmare I have. This is just something that freaks me out, you know, in the middle of the night. I wouldn't want to embrace that. It's like, no, this is a real thing. Probably a little concerned.
But I do think she embraces it. I just don't know if she's conscious when she embraces it.
I like the Van wants to keep finding the symbols, and what this reminded me of, for some strange reason, like Ty is not a collect them all person, but Van is. I dated someone for years, and every time we would go to Disneyland, they had to go to every crushed penny machine, and I was like, you know, we can go on the internet and find a map of these, and they're like, no, I like to find them. We are going to go and look for every crushed penny machine, and we are going to get the crushed pennies. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll roll with that. But that is what the Ty Van dynamic reminded me of. Ty was like, yeah, whatever, they're out there. If we run into one, great. We don't need to go hunting for them. We're on vacation.
That's a very great way to compare it. I think they balance each other well. And my first note of the episode says Van is an angel.
Van is great. And I love that this episode, spoilers, opens and closes with Ty and Van.
The scream. I know we'll get to it, but I literally screamed at the end of this episode.
So then we cut to Ty, and we get Ty and we get Issa. We get both sides of Ty, seeing herself and in Jessica Roberts' office. Poor Jessica Roberts. We see Ty in there getting the spare key. Okay, a little weird that the PI would leave a spare key under the doormat. That's my only complaint.
Like, has she not been found dead? It's never been confirmed.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe Jane Doe somewhere. But maybe Jessica Roberts thinks her office is so well hidden, she doesn't need security because you can't even find her. But Ty just happens to know where she is.
Well, maybe she's still around. I have a feeling.
Okay. Well, we'll see. That would actually argument in favor of that. If I was Jessica Roberts and Misty Quigley held me captive and poisoned me and tried to kill me, I wouldn't want Misty Quigley to potentially know I was still alive.
But she will find out too.
Yes. But she has the info that she was looking for, and we know she's going to find Van. That's what Issa Mirtai was mouthing last week. So Ty comes to consciousness after a blackout. She's in her car. The tank is empty. She looks at her phone and the map. She opens the file. What is going on? Where is she? And I screenshotted this to confirm the details. She has in the yellow jacket, the folder marked yellow jackets. Again, right. Jessica, you're making it very easy for people if that's what they're looking for. This was not encrypted. She has a photo of the video store with the Yelp review or the Yelp rating and the address. And I didn't know that this was clear to everyone, but Ty or Van rather is in Ohio. And she has 4.8 on Yelp with 104 reviews.
That's impressive.
Yes, for while you were streaming her video store.
So cute.
Okay. And a bit of a callback to While You Were Sleeping, the movie she was talking, the Sandra Bullock movie she was talking about in season one. That's kind of cool. I like that they're contextualizing that. We've got some listener mail at the end of this episode, which has some more context on connections between season one and season two. So Ty is going to Ohio and she's out of gas, so she's going to walk on the road and hitch, or maybe just walk all the way to Ohio.
It's really funny because at that point, and it happened later, but I'm sitting here thinking, why does she act like she's not a very, very known public figure? Yeah. Like, what are you doing walking on the side of the road when pretty much everybody knows who you are? And it got proven when, obviously we'll get into it later, but when the truck driver picks her up, he knows exactly who she is, and that's what but this is Issa that we're talking about. So
yes, so she was going to Oberlin, Ohio, where Van lives and runs her video store. So after that, we get the theme song. And hey, did you notice something different about the Yellow Jackets theme music this week?
Immediately.
Yes, I was like, like, I was having an issue where my subtitles were a bit off while I was watching because I'm old and I like to watch everything with subtitles, and the subtitles were off. And so I turned off the subtitles, and then the music, I'm like, is something up with my audio? This sounds different than usual.
The subtitles actually said the same name as always, even though we know it Walker wasn't. But
Craig.
Right, the subtitles is not. I had the same issue, and it was just funny because I saw what you tweeted from our bus Yellow Jackets and I'm sorry, Yellow Jackets bus account, and yeah, the subtitles did not give it up. But I was like, this is not. He said it later. When we hear it later in the episode, he said something different, but not in the beginning. No.
So the mystery solved by the end credits, that was Canada's own, Canada's sweetheart, Alanis Morissette, doing No Return, the Yellow Jackets theme.
My 90s heart.
Yes, we get the 90s connection. We get the Canadian connection. It's all
there. You love to see it.
It's great. Great surprise. I mean, I love Anna Wernker, and I feel like I haven't said this season. Anna Wernker, who does the Yellow Jackets theme song, typically was the lead vocalist in a band called That Dog, and That Dog is incredible if you like mid-90s melodic alternative rock. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll have more cover versions of the Yellow Jackets theme this season. Who knows? It's very exciting, though. That was a very nice surprise, and I enjoyed hearing that to open the show. Man, it's funny, even with the credits, like we got some more answers about credit shots tonight, too, so that was cool. We'll call those out as we go. So once the episode opens, we have Jeff and Shauna hanging out, and Jeff's like, so they just found our van on the side of the road?
Oh, Jeff.
Yes, he doesn't know the length Shauna goes to protect the family minivan.
He doesn't know because she lies.
Yes. And Callie is leaving, and hey, she's going to hang out with Alana tonight, so don't expect her for dinner.
Sure she is.
And Shauna is going to go to Kohl's and get Jeff some odor-resistant socks.
I hate Kohl's.
Yes, but then Jeff reveals to Shauna that the cops know about the affair. So we're kind of building this up, and I wonder...
He lied, too. He said, I overheard him talk about it at the gym. Like, he didn't have that messy confrontation with the cop last week. I mean, they just... This is a horrible marriage.
But I think it's turning a corner, based on what happens.
Is it turning a corner?
I mean, maybe.
They literally just lie to each other.
But now they're starting to be a little more honest. I think that's good.
I mean, once you tell your kid that you are murderers, that's turning a corner.
Yeah. So Natalie is talking to Lottie at the compound. Lottie's trying to get out of there. And Lottie is asking Natalie if she'll go. Well, first, Natalie wants to know where she's going. Lottie says the bank. It's also kind of weird. Who banks in person these days? But Natalie's going to go help Lisa with the farmer's market booth where they sell their honey.
It's a cult. Why would you want any digital trail?
I mean, you can't. Why would you put your money in a bank? Like,
good point.
You know? But they're going to go and have some bonding time and go into town and sell the honey.
But she didn't ask Natalie. Natalie volunteered to do this, which I was already conspiring that she was going to try to escape or do something stupid, but that's not what we got out of this.
No, it was very interesting. And Lottie says to let Lisa drive because she never gets the chance.
And she needs to practice.
Yeah. Then Misty and Walter. Oh, can we just, at the end of the season, can someone just cut together all their scenes into a romantic comedy?
I mean, it has to happen. Now, I love them. I love them so much.
I just want to take a moment, though, and just say, I'm getting really attached to this and loving their banter. I think there's decent odds that when the core four get together at the end of the season, I think they're going to murder and eat Walter. Like, I think there's, like, I don't think Walter's going to be back for season three. That's my fear.
No, what? You can't eat him. He's half metal plate. What kind of meat are you going to get out of him?
Just in his head, you know?
Yeah, but he's broken goods.
I'm just trying not to get too attached, Issa. It's you know, it's Yellow Jackets. We got attached to Adam, and look how that ended.
I didn't get attached to Adam. You did.
Yes.
I don't get attached to nobody but Ty. I love Ty. Well, actually, I even broke that attachment after what happened to Biscuit.
Yeah. So Misty is calling Ty. She's afraid that Misty and Shauna have been kidnapped, along with Natalie, because not getting back to them. And then this is interesting that Misty and Walter are driving, and Walter's like, hey, put on some music for distraction, and opens up the cassette tape. And this is like classic musicals. I think Rent is the most recent musical there, but there's, you know, Singing in the Rain, there's The Wizard of Oz, there's all these classic musical soundtracks. And Misty sees that, given what a musical fanatic she is for show tunes, and immediately thinks this is all a setup. Like, isn't really you. You're trying to front because you want to get with me because I'm a yellow jacket.
She said my favorite phrase of the episode. She says, you are one of those yellow jackets obsessives. And I even tweeted it out. I was like, yeah, I'm a proud yellow jacket obsessive. Thank you very much.
Yes. I'll go in the show description.
Yeah, we have to. Like...
yellow jackets obsessives.
I loved it. But I can see that. I mean, these girls have dealt with a lot of people trying to figure them out. I can, and she opens this, she sees all the music that she likes. I will be suspicious too.
Yeah, and then Misty says, and I'm honored that I seem to be your favorite yellow jacket.
Please let us know, tweet us, like comment on our Instagram. Let us know who your favorite yellow jacket is. Are you still on your Misty train? It hasn't changed since last season.
I mean, Misty is just a delight to watch. I have to say, Natalie, though, like, I mean, Misty...
Natalie has grown on me as a character.
Mm-hmm. I think Natalie... So we've talked about this before, right? Like, I like that Misty is... Walter has not quite cracked Misty's exterior yet, where she's ready to open up and allow herself to love. We see a glimpse of that in the montage later, I think.
Yeah.
I think she's almost at that point.
She's almost there, but she's not there yet. I laugh when the guy said one room. I literally said no. And then Misty said no. And I was like, she's not there. Don't take advantage of this. But yeah, I think I'm still Team Ty. I'm just very reserved because of what happened to Biscuit. And we haven't seen Steve. I'm going to start putting out the call.
Oh, yeah.
I need to make sure that Steve's okay. It's been 2 episodes now.
Yeah, and so Walter is very assuring that they fell in love on a message board for citizen detectives.
Yeah, I believe it.
So ultimately, he doesn't like the first suggestion, or pardon me, she doesn't like the first suggestion of what they're going to play. So instead, they go with Evita. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Evita Rainbow Tour is the music she puts on. And then we cut back to the cabin where Misty is singing along with Crystal. But I love that. I absolutely love that Misty is like, I don't even care about musicals. I'm not into musicals at all.
Lies.
So we can listen to whatever,
It's all lies.
She's trying to play it cool, Issa. She's trying to play it cool with Walter.
I understand.
But back in the cabin, Misty and Crystal are singing and dancing and having a great time while they clean up. Shauna comes in and someone has gotten into the bear meat and been stealing food. A lot of interrogation about who's the thief. And man, okay, Mari, remember last season? And I even told Alexa when we interviewed her, I was like, Mari's got this sort of fierce darkness beneath the surface.
Yep.
We are seeing that more and more.
Yes, she's developing quite well. I really like what we're seeing from her this season. And you see it here.
I mean, Mari could be Pit Girl. Mari might not make it to season 3.
Man, you are killing everybody tonight. You just killed Walter. You kill Mary. Like, what's going on, Glenn?
I'm just saying, she's. You could see where she's poking at the tensions with everything.
First of all, when Shauna walked back in, obviously we know she's pregnant at this point, and she said, "If anybody should be eating more bear meat, it should be me, but I'm not because I'm not the worst." I was like, I don't know if that's a good flex.
Yes. And Mari's saying about the coach, he thinks he's so much better than us. Mari is one step away from going full Mori and being like, you don't know me. You don't know me.
Okay, but hear me out. He didn't take part in the eating of Deadass Jackie. Yeah. So I would assume that he's the one eating more meat because he should be the hungrier out of all of them. I would accuse him immediately.
But as he points out, one-legged Ben isn't exactly like the most nimble thief. You know?
Yeah, that's a great cop out. That would be the first thing I would say if I'm the one that stole the bear meat.
I like that the way they're setting this up and the reveal we got later with Javi being alive. This is so 1980s sitcom. This is like, there were episodes, the one that came to mind was Kids Incorporated, Phantom of the Palace, where it's like, somebody took my guitar strap. I'm missing my sunglasses. Like, everybody's noticing things missing, and then there's somebody like living in the walls. You know, this is very sitcom given what really we found out happy. With Javi being live.
It's definitely Javi who stole the bear meat, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I just put that together. Sorry.
Yeah, so no, I like
that's not even Javi. Javi's possessed.
Well,
we know
yeah,
that, right?
We don't even know. We don't even know what's going on. But I love that they're setting this up. And they've done this before with, like, that was missing. I don't think Javi pooped in the bucket in the cabin. But I think, I think the meat, he's the meat thief. So Mari's getting to coach. Coach is like, what happens? Are you going to eat me? Natalie has to stand up for coach. And then, again, this is also a little kind of fun, sitcom-y, old school, is that Mari then is starting shit between Natalie and Lottie, saying, Lottie's the one that's providing all the food. Natalie, you go out and hunt all the time. I don't know what you're actually doing out there because you're not doing anything as far as hunting. Man, Mari's just really trying to get everyone to murder each other at this point. But this
I'm okay with it. I love this competition. But yes. She put way too much faith in Lottie.
And we did find out that the birds were not diseased. They ate the birds. So they're doing okay. They got some bear meat left.
And the birds came when there was blood on the symbol.
Yeah.
We saw the altar that Ty built the year before. I mean, the season before. This is a very, very bloodthirsty entity. So I'm starting to believe whatever is happening has something to do with vampires. What?
Sure, why not? We'll just go there at this point, you know? Before the contest gets set up, we've got Lisa and Natalie in the car and them talking. And it's interesting. This is where I think Natalie is being really... really Machiavellian and how she's trying to set this up, being like, oh, you only get to leave once a week, and no, we can leave whenever we want. Well, if they tell you can leave whenever you want, can you really leave? Like, basically planting the seeds of distrust.
In my notes, I wrote, maybe we should write a compound handbook. So because people seem to be confused by this rule, so maybe we should get an HR person to help us write a compound handbook.
Yes, maybe that is the key, a guide to surviving the cult.
I also wrote, I'm writing my notes in purple and it is pure coincidence. Anyways, told you my notes are random.
Can I just say that I love Nicole Maines and she is becoming one of my favorite parts of Yellow Jackets, and seeing how the character of Lisa develops.
Yeah, she's doing great. And I really, really liked her tonight.
No, this was good. So so Lisa is saying that she had to give up the bad parts, the unhelpful parts, but she takes it seriously. So she's kind of pushing back on Natalie. I like the chemistry that they have. I think that this actually, and a lot of cool stuff happened, but this is kind of like low key my favorite arc of this episode.
Do you think that if your crazy theory from a couple of weeks ago about who Lisa is, you still yes. believe that theory?
She could be adopted.
So do you, okay, that's actually, I was going to say, do you think that Natalie would know that Lisa is baby Woods?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that's, we have discussed on this podcast now the dozen plus episodes we have done. We've had many theories mm-hmm. that turned out wrong. And that is, and that is good. Yeah. That is good. Do you want to watch a show where you feel like I 100% know what's happening, and then it happens and you go like, oh, I was right, but that's what I was expecting. Cool.
I love being right. So I wouldn't be right.
Yeah. I know. Roman Reigns won at WrestleMania. I get it. But what I'm saying is, or would you rather watch a show where you say, I think I know what's happening and I think it's going this way. And then they go, no, we're going to do this other thing. And what we're doing is so much better than even what you imagined.
Expect the unexpected.
Now, that being said, you can't be disappointed sometimes. I'm still not thrilled about Adam just being some dude that was wrong place, wrong time, wrong relationship. I don't know that Adam is. And I think Adam was into Shauna. I think what they had was real, but he's still sus in my book. Like his background or motives or whatnot. You know?
Okay.
But I've moved on. I moved on a little bit. But I 100% believe
he
was genuinely into the next life.
True.
So here's the crazy thing. Lottie is going to see her psychiatrist, and it's a fill-in. It's not the normal one, which is very
interesting. Yeah, that's suspicious.
That is. Mm-hmm. Dr. Graham is not there. But
she also showed up, 5 weeks early?
5 weeks. She has every 6 months, she has appointments with Dr. Graham. She's showing up
five weeks early. So I'm in defense about whether this is suspicious or not. If it would have been her appointment date, that would be different. But for a second there, I was like, who is this lady? Is this, you know, should I be suspicious of her? But with her showing up early, I'm 50-50 about this.
Yeah. So Lottie's saying that she's having the visions. Again, we saw the visions of the blood with the bees last week. She says it's the first time in decades that they've been like this. This is actually really interesting to me because I was right. Remember when I said, I don't think Lottie's doing anything dark with the cult and whatnot. And like what she presented in episode 1 and 2 to Natalie is actually true, that she does want to help her, that the cult is about, the cult's genuine.
I think that after what we saw tonight, maybe she's not embracing it, but I think the evil entity of this whole symbols is Ty, and I think that Lottie's really trying to use these powers for good. I do.
Yeah, I think based on Lisa and the progress that she's made, and Lottie wanting to suppress the visions, it is interesting, and I was thinking about this tonight when we get to the later scenes and what was happening, trying to reconcile some of where Lottie's head is at, even in the past and now. Like in the past, she's kind of calm, until this episode where she cuts her hand and has the visions. But if you look at the end of season 1 with Let the Darkness Set Us Free, you know, and after Doom Coming, and then what happened with Jackie, like Lottie's actually pretty chill on, like she wants nature to protect them and she's got visions and vibes, but I feel like Lottie's kind of mellow in the cabin, and in present day, apparently Lottie had the visions have stopped and she wants to stop them again.
Yeah. So,
but I agree with you. It is absolutely sus that Dr. Graham is not there.
It's also sus that this new doctor, I don't know what higher power or whatever is happening here with this cult and the symbols, but it's also very sus that this doctor is kind of telling her, like, forget about it. Let these visions in, you know, makes you wonder if it's, I don't know. Maybe somebody possessed this doctor to say that because they want Lottie to be darker. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
The spirit of the hunter and the spirit of the hunter has come down from the Canadian wilderness to upstate New York to inhabit this other woman, murder Dr. Graham, and then sit on Lottie sessions and be like, you don't need the drugs. Maybe the drugs are what's making you sick. Have you ever thought about that?
It could happen.
Spirit of the Canadian hunter, man.
I mean, the symbols could be everywhere.
It's true. I'm looking at the sculpture behind Lottie's head. Kind of looks like the hook from the bottom of the symbol. Kind of like a question mark.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But I like that Lottie is saying, and this is actually very interesting. This is a very interesting idea. The Lottie's talking about, I've really built something. I am helping people. I have put all this behind me. I've taken control of whatever mental challenges and issues and problems that I had, I've taken control of them, gotten over them, and I'm very afraid of losing my grip and backsliding. I think that's like, Lottie is such a sympathetic character with where we're at right now. But based on what we saw later in the episode, like, I think scary Lottie is coming back. Also, isn't it weird when everyone keeps calling her Charlotte and referring to her as that?
Yes. Yes, I feel like, I mean, yes, I keep calling her Lottie no matter what they call her. But like when Lisa, at one point, like it took me a second, Lisa's telling Natalie like something about Charlotte. And I'm like, who's Charlotte? Like it really, like it, there was a moment where I was like, what is she talking about?
Yes. So it's very interesting that the doctor is saying, hey, just see what happens with all this. And we'll see.
Yeah. Unleash, let the darkness set us free.
Yeah. As Steve said, I would urge you to reframe the way you're thinking about these visions. You know what? Now that I'm like rewatching this scene right now and we're talking about this, I'm like, this doctor has like cold, dead eyes. Like maybe this doctor is possessed.
Yeah. I try to tell you this. Whatever Javi's possessed with, this doctor also hasn't.
So we get the contest. Misty looks so in her zone explaining these rules of this, of you kill it, you leave it there. We're going to come out and like judge your kill and help you carry it back. And you have to be back before sundown.
But the best part is that up to this point, nobody's hunting but Natalie. And now they're all experts at this.
Yeah, Lottie versus Natalie. And this is science versus faith and spirituality at war. Here with this contest.
It didn't have to be that way, but apparently Lottie doesn't need a gun. I was like, why did you make that decision for Lottie? Like, yeah, that was Mari's unfair. Like,
Lottie doesn't need a gun.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Lottie doesn't need a gun. Lottie does take the knife, though, the same one she killed the bear with. And they set out on their journey. And it's interesting, too, Lottie hasn't really done this or braved the elements. You could see that Natalie looks like she's like tactical, ready to strike. At the same time, then you see Ty sort of just walk away and Van looking like, oh, maybe I should follow her. Now, this is really interesting, is that we see Lottie walking and we hear these noises. I watch the show in surround sound, so it's always interesting when you hear the twig snap behind you when you're watching TV. Lottie is seeing the symbols when she walks. And it's interesting, like, you can kind of get the sense early on that she doesn't have as much purpose. So Natalie, though, goes, and at first I thought she saw footsteps. So that was my first thing. I was like, oh, Javi's going to be in this episode. Those were not Javi's footsteps. Those were the moose's footsteps. And that's why she followed them to the river where she found the frozen moose.
I literally have Javi question mark written three times in my notes, and then I have Javi with a bunch of exclamation points when they actually find him. Because yeah, when she found the frozen moose and she they don't show it, I thought she had found frozen Javi.
Yeah. Yeah. So Shauna is in the underground parking garage of Cole's. And runs into Alana's mom. Turns out Callie's been lying about the sleepovers.
Yeah, we all knew that.
Then Shauna goes through Callie's room when she gets home, finds some condoms, and Adam Martin's, what's left of his ID, the little shrinky-dink photo
and
of
she
him.
She knew. It was at this moment she knew. She fucked up.
Yeah. The Shauna Callie dynamic is very interesting to me.
Is it? Because I thought Callie was going to die tonight.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm still, like, Callie's, like, just out of my... Maybe she's number three on my list of people that are not going to make it another season on the show.
I thought she wasn't going to make it past tonight when Shauna... I think... Well, we know Shauna is murder thirsty, and she's, like, taking her to the middle of nowhere. I was like, it's over for Callie. It's over.
Yeah, so Shauna goes...
You're not even her firstborn, so...
Oh, damn. That's cold. So Shauna goes and picks Callie up and says, oh, come on, let's go somewhere fun. Did you ever have these happen when you were a kid, when it's like your parent, one parent picks you up from school unexpected and they're like, come on, let's go somewhere. And then you have that weird, awkward drive where you're just like, okay, what's going on here? What's happened? Are you guys getting a divorce? Are we moving? Like, what do you need to tell me? Or what are you working through? What are your problems? What are your issues? You know?
Yeah.
It's very weird.
If you have suspicions that your mom is a murderer and she takes you on this drive, would you not think you're going to die?
Don't go to a second location. If you think your mom is a murderer, stranger danger, even though you're related to her. So I like Walter and Misty are getting breakfast at a diner. Misty just wants to ask, hey, where are the weirdos? Where's the cult? And Walter's like, no. Couple fun things in this scene. Walter is making like a little ham taco. He's putting like his eggs in the taco and then puts maple syrup and mustard on it.
Disgusting.
I might try and make
Misty's like, what is your deal? Yes. What is your deal?
I'm looking at this in the replay. I'm like, I might have to make a vegan version of this just to see how that tastes. But yeah, Misty says, what is your deal? And Walter is a multimillionaire. And we find out that he was walking under scaffolding and a load of bricks fell on him. And they put a metal plate in his head. The video went viral. You could see it on YouTube. But his settlement was $6 million.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was like, don't you have a job? He was like, well, I haven't had a normal job in years. It was great. This whole scene was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. And I love that then Misty is just like, hey, what do you know about the cult with the purple people? And the waitress says, they're awful tippers.
I thought the waitress looks like somebody from a cult.
But Tuesday, they go to the farmer's market and sell their honey. And today's Tuesday. So,
man, I thought we were going to have the moment of Misty encountering Natalie and Natalie just being so shocked by how did you find me?
Yeah, absolutely. Then we come back to Ty.
Really sweet moment earlier when Walter tells Misty that it's so nice to have a friend that has their back so relentlessly. And she was like, thank you. Because, you know, they kind of find her annoying. It was cute for her to find someone that understands what she's trying to do because, you know, it was cute. I thought that was cute because it's true. When Natalie see Misty out there, I can only imagine the reaction. And that's a good friend, man. She's crazy, but she's a good friend.
Absolutely. So Ty gets picked up by a truck driver and she's a little reluctant to get in, but he's saying, oh, hey, I voted for you. He likes her more because she's having a bad day. She's very much humanizes her as a politician. And she finds a naked girl fountain pen on the floor of his cab. And that she takes that as a good sign, I guess.
Yeah, I love that the truck driver said, hey, the state senator can have a bad day. So can I. It makes me like you more. I agree with that, but I don't think he understands that what he's in for. This woman is powerful.
Yes, and Ty is delighted by that pen, offers to buy it off of him.
I seen those kind of pens. Haven't we all? Haven't we all?
You know, I've never actually seen one. I thought those literally only existed in TV and movies.
No, I seen a boy version of it too.
Oh wow. The things you can do with fountain pen technology. Back in the 90s.
I'm writing on my notes by Glenn a fountain girl pen. Christmas gifts.
There you go. Well, Mari is hearing the dripping that no one else hears. And asks Akila to help find the dripping in the cabin.
Yeah, but she's too busy. She's too busy studying for the SATs.
SATs, yeah. It's important.
You know what? Props to her for she's keeping that hope that she's gonna make it back.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to do that. You know, man, yeah. I'll tell you, she is going to be the best prepared person taking that test, given how much time she has had to study. With no distractions, you know?
I mean, I think that your brain is all over the place. So I don't know. She might be distracted and not be retaining any of this information.
So Akilah checks the pantry and she finds a little mouse.
Yes. So cute. What would you name it?
Oh, it's tough. I don't know. Probably like Squeaker or something, you know, like
Squeaker.
Yeah. Just like a cute little name. You know, what would you name the mouse?
Woody. Cause they're all in the woods.
Oh, there you go. But Akilah is stoked about this. I was really afraid. Oh, like, so, okay. So, I mean, sidebar on this. I saw this and this was such a beautiful moment. And I was like, oh shit, this is going to end up like the movie Old Boy, isn't it? And I'm going to be really like, just like, I had to turn off Old Boy after what happens to the mouse that Josh Brolin, the US version that Josh Brolin befriends the mouse and what happens to him. Like, I was like, this movie is cruel and sadistic and like, fuck yeah, this movie.
I remember. It took me a second to remember, but now thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah. And I thought Mari was just going to come in there and kill the mouse. Like, that was my first thought. I was like, Mari's just going to come in there and straight up. Or Mari's going to come up there and it's going to be like V with the lizard people. Mari's going to come in there and just take the mouse and dangle it and put it right in her mouth and eat it.
Wow.
Which is why Akilah hides it. Akilah knows what's up.
I mean, they ate Jackie. What makes you think they won't eat the mouse?
I mean, not much of a snack, right? I mean, you know?
It's an appetizer.
So Akilah puts it in her pocket. The mouse lives through this episode, people. I'm very invested. Yeah. After Misty and Walter, and after Natalie and Lisa, Akilah and the mouse is the relationship I am now most, the third most invested relationship I have in this show is now Akilah and the mouse. I want that mouse to make it out of the wilderness and come back to society. I want that mouse to be there on Akilah's shoulder when she's taking her SATs back when she gets home.
I want Steve to be okay.
I don't know what to
tell you. I haven't been able to stop thinking about Steve since episode one.
So, Lottie finds the altar from the end of the first season finale. It is covered in snow. I thought she was going to go there and like stab the bear heart, or the bear heart be frozen. She'd be like, hey, all, I win. We can eat this bear heart. Remember when I got the bear? I thought she was going to take that back off the altar. But she cuts her hand and bleeds on the altar. And then we cut back to Natalie. Well, we'll talk about what happened there. But before we find out what happened there, Natalie is following the hoof prints, not the footprints, and sees moose antler sticking out of the ice going over there. And there is a big, ginormous moose frozen underneath the ice. Were you thinking about the logistics of this? Because I was like, I guess it's freezing water. Like, it's not going to be like moldy or anything, right? Like, this is still edible. This is still preserved.
That's what you were thinking about?
Yeah, like, I don't want some wet-ass moose meat.
I was thinking it's going to be impossible to get it out of there, so what does it matter if it's wet or not?
Yeah, yeah.
I knew they weren't going to be able to get that thing out of there. None of them, like, combined.
Well, Natalie and Lisa pull up to Lisa's house, and Lisa's asking Natalie keeps secrets, saying, can we not tell Charlotte that we were here? And I'm like, who's Charlotte? Again.
When I said it too.
Mm-hmm. That's actually what Natalie should have said. Like, who's Charlotte? And then Lisa would go, exactly. because she wants to see her fish, which is the 14th gilly. There were 13 gillies before this goldfish.
Yeah.
And Natalie's pointing out, like, you're not allowed to see your family. That's pretty culty. You know?
Compound handbook. We need to make it happen. We need to establish what the rules are.
Yeah. But Lottie's not evil. I don't think.
But okay, hear me out. Yeah. And we saw it with Lisa's mom. But remember, Lottie's parents always thought that there was something really wrong with her and they wanted to fix her instead of listening or trying to understand her a little bit better. So I can understand where she's coming from about family clouding things or not helping.
Yeah.
And that's literally what this girl's mom does.
Yeah, it was very interesting. So again, I think Lisa could be the wilderness baby that was adopted by this woman and raised by this woman who she calls mom. I'm not giving up on my theory yet. I don't care if there's a slight resemblance between them to the point where it's absolutely plausible she could be her biological mother. But yes, Lisa's mom, Lisa has a history of depression, self-harm, and just she wants what's best for Lisa. She's very concerned about the cult, but Lisa is very adamant about confronting her depression, not numbing it. Actually, you know what? It's really interesting that the cult is, and again, I feel it's pejorative calling the cult, the group that Lottie has formed to help people at the wilderness retreat, because cult's a tainted word. It's loaded. Let's try not to use that until Lottie goes crazy.
I'm using it.
Okay.
I mean, don't weigh me on this. It's a cult.
But it's interesting that
not
Lottie...
Not all cults are evil.
I mean, kind of a connotation there, you know? Like, look up a good
cult. I'm going to start a cult just so I can prove you wrong.
I think all cults and all multi-level marketing schemes are inherently nefarious.
You're comparing a cult to an MLM?
They're very similar if you think about it. In a cult, you get points and favors and you rise in the hierarchy. How? By recruiting other people into the cult. They reward you for that. Cult, you know, in fact, I think cults were the original multi-level marketing scheme.
Cults, you join because you want to and you stay because it's a family.
Yeah, but they kind of keep trying to recruit other people into the... When do you ever see a cult say, you know what? We're good. We got enough people in the cult. We don't need any more.
My cult. As of right now, it's just me and my dog, and we're perfectly fine with that.
That's going to be your recruitment tool. That's how you're going to sucker people in. Is you're going to say,
it's going to be the coolest cult. Everybody's going to want to join it, and I'm not going to let them in. That's going to be the gimmick.
You're going to say, now, unlike other cults, we limit our membership to only 8 people. So you just know that if we're interested in you, like, we really want you in the cult.
Don't call me. We'll call you.
I mean, that's a good gimmick. Could you imagine? God, every cult would be so much more successful if they made it seem more exclusive. Like, I don't know if I can get you in. Maybe I can pull some strings. Maybe I could talk to the leader. You know, we could figure some things out.
I mean, yeah. Isn't that how everything else works in life?
I mean, maybe. But I think it's interesting that Lottie is taking medication to suppress her visions. But what they're preaching to Lisa is don't be on medicine, confront these feelings, acknowledge them, and let them go.
Right, because her feelings are not evil, like what Lottie might be dealing with.
Yeah, it's just interesting the different ways of dealing with it, you know?
Correct.
And I like Natalie, who's been through many self-help and substance abuse things, is saying, hey, if it's working for her, like, it works for her. If she, you know, isn't a danger to herself, and she's okay with her depression, like, why are you giving
well,
her
yeah,
so much
the grief? Mom's behavior today is why people join cults. She comes home for the first time in how long, and that's the conversation you want to have. You don't know if you're going to see her again. Like, the mom pushed her right back to that cult.
Yeah. So Shauna and Callie are in the middle of nowhere. Shauna pulls over the car, gets out. Callie's saying, no bars, no surface.
I thought she was going to die.
I mean, you know, I'm also wondering, if something had happened to Callie or even if she got rid of the ID, I would have said, oh, maybe the cops have a tracker on her car or something. So I'm glad they didn't go that route. I'm glad they just had a talk, you know?
Yeah, a talk.
On the hood of the car.
She's dramatized for life, but they had a talk. But Callie like needs to go to Lottie's cult now after this.
Season 3. If Callie is still alive.
Meet her long lost sister, according to you.
I mean, what's the craziest theory you have about the show right now? And I don't think the least one's that crazy. It's kind of caught on with some people. But I mean, other people have it as well.
I told you today I'm convinced that the Antler Queen is Tysa.
I thought you say the Antler Queen is Steve. Steve is the new Antler Queen.
I just want Steve to be okay. I'll adopt Steve. I'm sure Steve and Roman would get along just fine.
Yeah, we haven't seen Steve the dog in quite some time. So
two episodes.
Yes. Yeah, so Shauna comes clean to Callie here about killing Adam, about the blackmail plot, because she thought he was the blackmailer. It turned out it was Jeff. So
Shauna's so messy. She's so messy. I know I sound repetitive, but I think that's the one thing I've been consistent in this podcast is every week I say it, Shauna is messy.
I just love the part, Melanie's line, where, you know, murder, and then she pauses a second, and I was like, okay, yeah.
I know. Oh my God. And then she was like, but I had a reason. He was blackmailing us. And I don't know what happened. Well, he wasn't the blackmailer. He was your dad. Like, this conversation just, if I'm like looking at this conversation from Callie's perspective, it just kept getting worse and worse
Was the spiritual sequel to Shauna shutting Callie down when she tried to blackmail her in season one about how her life will suck if she told Jeff and they got a divorce.
Right. Oh my God. One of my favorite scenes from season
absolutely.
One.
So Shauna then says, you know, why were we trying to blackmail you? Well, we did some things out in the woods, some horrible things that we're ashamed of. And I'll maybe tell you at some point, but not now.
Yeah, it was so funny because like 2 minutes before that, they said no more secrets, but she still can't tell Callie the extent of what happened in the woods.
What do you think Callie thinks? Because if you build it up that way, it's like, I mean, maybe the nicer version is she thinks like, oh, you know, one of the girls was getting on her nerves, so we all took a vote and decided to kill her. Like, maybe she thinks it's murder, or maybe she thinks that like they froze Jackie out, like literally. But do you think that Callie suspects that it's like, we legit, like, you know, Jackie, my best friend, I ate Jack, like. Do you think Callie suspects what actually happened?
I mean, after today, I would. Because if your mom can just comfortably and quietly, calmly tell you, yeah, I murdered him. With no repercussion and no signs of guilt, my brain will be like, they killed everybody out there. I don't know about eating them, but I would assume that they kill everybody that's pronounced dead and they didn't really die in the plane crash.
Yeah. And Callie says she's not going to tell anyone, promises. Okay, so then...
I don't believe her.
Well, we'll see. But then when we go back to the 90s, Van is looking at the map that Coach Ben and Natalie have been putting together and looking that with Van's symbol map and lining it up. And then she's got the push pins in the yarn. She's got her citizen detective corkboard. All there and ready to go, and is saying, look, it makes the symbol. And I like that Ty is like, you could make any symbol with that.
Ty is in such denial. I wish she would just embrace it and be Issa.
Yes. but that was a cool scene. But again, we almost didn't need to know. Coach Ben is reading the Magus. We saw that book at the end of season one. And then is having a flashback to life with his boyfriend and finding the box of the boyfriend with the ex and the memories and talking about, you know, that's the past, but we're going to build this life together. Man, Ben is just, he's going through this in these very difficult times.
They were talking about a sentimental box. Do you have one, Glenn?
Somewhere. Like, I've been with, you know, my wife and I have been together for like almost 2 decades. So anything before that, like I've got maybe a few things, but not like anything extensive. How about you?
I used to have one. I don't believe in that stuff anymore.
You don't believe, you just like, we are done. I'm burning all of this.
Yeah. I don't want to keep anything from anyone. I don't want to, no memories, no nothing.
Yeah.
In my cult, you're not gonna be allowed to bring anything from the past. You gotta let it go when you get accepted.
You're gonna go through everyone's phone and you're gonna delete the ex's numbers. You're gonna delete everyone's numbers because you don't talk to anyone outside of the cult. You're gonna have Issa's correct number, and that's it. No, and maybe the other
allowed, you to join my cult, you have to have a dog, and that's the only person you're allowed to tell your secrets to. You're not allowed to talk to nobody else but your dog.
It's gonna be an interesting cult. So I liked Lisa and talking to her mom and and the mom trying to be like, oh, this part of you, you know, isn't gone, worried about you, and then Natalie snapping and being like, why are you, know, you don't know how this is affecting her. Lisa's like, stay out of this. Lisa's mom just gets and goes out. Lisa leaves. And then we see Natalie looking at the fish. Natalie goes to the car, and one of the coolest moments of this show
ever, ever,
water bottle and spits the goldfish that she smuggled out in her mouth for Lisa.
Yeah, can you imagine that fish flopping in your mouth? You're just like, that was such, I'm telling you, Natalie, she's cool, she's growing on me. Her character development this season has been incredible, and I love this moment a lot.
Yeah, I thought that was
great. If I was capable of crying, I would have teared up a little bit. She cares. Yes. She cares.
So Sunshine Honey is the name of the brand, and they're not at the farmer's market. Misty walks up and going, where are the purple people?
Where's the cult with the purple people?
Yes. But they find out where their place was up in some rural area. Misty wants to go night.
Off State Route 19 or something
19.
Like that?
Route 19. Yep. That is correct. And Misty wants to go at night, get the element of surprise. And Walter's like, no, we need to go to an Airbnb, not even an Airbnb, just a B&B. I looked it up. Here it is on my phone. I think Walter had a plan.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to spend the night with Misty.
Yeah. They could stay the night and surprise him in the morning.
But I'm with him on that. There's a lot of element of the unknown here.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going. I would rather have a clear head. I would rather have a lot more daytime. While I do think he was trying to make his move on Misty, I agree with him about not showing up to this place in the middle of the night.
Yes. So Natalie goes back to the cabin, tells them about the moose in the ice, and says she needs help. And Maria's like, no. No, we said no help. None.
As Misty's the first one out the door, and she's the one that made the rules.
But before we see what happens there, Lottie is going through the wilderness, and she sees the plane, a plane covered in snow.
Trip me out. My nose just says, WTF, a plane?
Yeah, I thought it was another plane.
Me
but
too.
Then, and I was like, how many planes were up there? But she opens it up, and we see Leonard. Leonard the bear.
Welcome
is back.
Welcome back, Leonard. I love it. I loved it.
Yes. Up until Javi, this was the big return cameo of the episode.
Yeah, until she took the plane elevator. I thought I was tripping.
Oh, my God. So she goes through. There's a hatch in there and an elevator. This reminded me, and it's not a hallucination. I guess it's been out for a while now. In the movie Triangle of Sadness, there's a...
Yeah.
Similar thing at the end, which is cool. But yeah, so she goes through the hatch in the back of the plane, an elevator, and she's at everybody's favorite place. If you were a teenager in the 90s, your favorite place was the mall. And she is there.
Grand Central. I thought they were at Grand Central.
Well, she goes down the hatch. She walks out through an elevator.
Yeah, the first thing she sees is like a little, I thought it looked like a transit station, because the first thing that she sees is that weird, like, it just looks like a kiosk, right? It doesn't look like an actual store. And they had like, I don't know if they were like, it looked like winter wear, which after you realize what's happening, it makes sense, right? They had like scarves, gloves, and this and that. So it makes sense that the freezing to death, literally.
So, and we got like a nice alternate arrangement of the theme song during this scene, which I thought was very, like that I really want to hear. Lottie goes into an express. Now, minor continuity note, it should have been a TJ Maxx, because she's got those Max bucks. She could have got herself a warm coat from all the clothes she used to shoplift there.
Yep. But she doesn't have her return gift cards on her.
I know. Well, there wasn't even gift cards back then. It was like printed out slips that like manager would have to sign. So Laura Lee is there, and she got Lottie some food.
How do you scream when you see Laura Lee? My notes have a giant Laura Lee with a heart next to it.
Yes, the whole team. Well, not the whole team, but the core four are there.
Jackie wasn't there.
Oh, not Jackie. But, well, yeah, actually, that is weird that Jackie wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that.
It is weird. That is interesting that Laura Lee's there, but not Jackie.
What does that tell you?
What does that tell us? Van's kind of like being a little snarky. Like, you could use a coat. I saw some on sale at Abercrombie.
Yeah, and then she said, I don't have my credit card. She said, when have you ever needed it? And I was like, yeah. Ooh. It was also, I forgot how much I got used to Van with the scars.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took me off. Like, I got so used to the scars that I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that she got the scars in. I almost feel like she always had them. You know what I mean?
And Misty is there with, like, prom hair with, like, a spiral perm.
She looked great.
Misty looked phenomenal.
I thought Natalie looked the best.
Yeah, they all looked great. And Lottie, this is like nightmares I've had. Lottie has the food in front of her, but she can't eat it. Like, she keeps getting interrupted. She can't connect.
You've had nightmares about having food and not being able to eat it?
Yeah, I have a lot of nightmares. Not nightmares, but I have stress dreams where there's a clear goal in sight, but I just can't connect with the clear goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what
I've had two nightmares that I've had since I was little, and I still have them. Is that not crazy?
It is crazy. I think you've told me this before, but what are the two nightmares again?
Well, one of them is I'm stuck in a giant spider web, and I see a spider coming, and I can't get out of the web. And the other one is, well, the shark dream is I've been chased by a shark, and then when I get out of the water, he grows legs and starts chasing me by leg.
What's weird is I don't have a shark nightmare, but I swear to God, and anyone else listening to the podcast my age probably has the same fear. You kick the blankets off the bed when it gets warm in the summer, and you're like dangling your feet off the edge of the bed. And I think, can't dangle my feet. The shark's going to eat my feet. It's going to jump up and eat my feet. And I think that in the middle of the night, and I'm like, I'll put my legs back under the blanket.
Okay, but try dreaming that you're swimming. You see the shark, and you think, look, I got to make it to shore. I just got to get out, and I'm safe. And the next thing you know, the shark has legs, and he's still chasing you on Earth. That's petrifying. But it's a cool-looking shark, the shark in my dream.
At least it's cool looking. It so Laura Lee is saying you need to go, and if you don't get warm, you're gonna die. So it's very interesting.
She's freezing to death.
Yeah.
Laura Lee saved her.
I mean,
she couldn't do that for Laura Lee.
Neither of them ended up with food, but if this went to the judge's decision, I just want to say I think Natalie kind of won this contest.
Yeah.
I mean, harsh truth, you know, Lottie.
Yeah, yeah. Lottie was too busy having visions to actually hunt for food.
Yes. So they're getting the moose out of the water.
Bad idea. This whole thing was such a bad idea.
They tie the ropes around the antlers. They're chipping away. They get it. They're pulling, and it is just too heavy. Natalie, like, dives after it and is like almost willing to dive down into the water to try and retrieve it. Just so heartbreaking seeing the look on her face watching the moose sink to the bottom of the lake.
A male moose can weigh up to 1,400 pounds. This was Mission Impossible. I was waiting for the music and for Tom Cruise to show up in the background and be like, you guys are not going to get this. Like, it was a great scene, though, because you are crushed. But realistically, they weren't going to get it.
I mean,
it's like really good to see the desperation and all this, but it's insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure some engineer out there can figure out a way that they could have done this and gotten the moose out. Oh, you know what? Okay, I mean, not to armchair quarterback this, but they could have, since they were already cutting through the ice, they could have maybe tried to get it to more shallow part of the lake where they'd be able to get more leverage. I don't know. I'm just thinking. And the moose was wet. It's gonna be heavier when it's wet too. So, but yeah, this sucked. Like, this sucked for them.
Yeah.
And for Natalie.
Yeah.
It's tough. Cut to.
And they're gonna start getting desperate. I mean, they're getting there.
Oh, that poor mouse.
Stop! Woody's gonna make it.
Lisa and Natalie are in a bar, and I like that the goldfish Gilly, the 14th is there, or the 14th Gilly is there in a pitcher.
I love Gilly.
I mean, this is just great. I love the way, and I like that Lisa turns it back around on Natalie and says, I was there with, when you had a gun to your head, you still want to kill yourself. And I love that Natalie pushes away the alcohol. She says she doesn't want to drink.
And there was something, the conversation that they were having, trigger warning, obviously, but they were having this conversation because obviously we hear Lisa tell her mom, hey, I haven't tried to commit suicide in this long. But when Natalie, I don't know how I feel about this, and this could be a whole debate, but Natalie gives her this advice where she's like, if you want to kill yourself, kill yourself. And I was like, I'm not sure you're helping. Or her situation.
That was kind of
right. And I love that Lisa turned it around. It was like, it was literally after Natalie said that Lisa was like, I was there when you had a gun to your head. Do you still want to do it? It threw me off because I'm assuming Natalie's coming from that place of make your own decisions, but that is just not the way to go. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very uncomfortable subject. The way that they addressed it, though, I thought was very real. And I just thought it was very powerful when she asked Natalie that. Now I said, not today, and then just pushed the shot away.
The shot away, I felt very proud of her because obviously we know that Natalie has been through a lot. But I also think that after what Lisa just went on with her mom, I relate to Natalie a little bit in the way that I handle things or probably not say the right things. But if I am in that situation with a friend, I would definitely take them to the bar and try to help feel better with having a couple of drinks because that's how I deal with issues. So I thought it was sweet that she was at the bar with her trying to help her feel better after the whole confrontation with the mom.
So then we go to we go to the B&B. I keep on saying Airbnb because I'm so conditioned. To that. I know isn't amazing how that's like owned. Like B&B used to be everywhere, and now it's interesting. What was next? We had them checking in.
The fake names?
Oh, yes. Walter goes with John Lang, which is a Michael Crichton pen name. It was a pseudonym Michael Crichton used, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah.
And Misty uses Lady Malawan, based on Barbara Parker Malawan.
What would be your fake name, Glenn?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough.
Let us know your fake names. Everybody listening, yes. Tweet us, please. Like I ask you guys to let us know everything, but let us know what your fake name B&B checking is, please.
Yes. So Lady Malawan was an English archaeologist, and what's interesting about her is that she is the second wife of Max Malawan. Married in 1977, and Max Malawan's first wife was Agatha Christie, the mystery novelist. So it's interesting that he chooses John Lang, which is Michael Crichton reference of science fiction.
Right.
She chooses an Agatha Christie connection, archaeology connection. I think it's very interesting their choices here. But the B&B says, do you want two rooms or one? Walter's like, probably one. And she's like, nope, we're getting
two. He tried to shoot his shot.
Yes. I mean, it's funny, though, checking in under a fake name because, they still have credit cards, although they probably paid cash.
B&B in the 90s. They took cash. Back then, I feel like cash was king. Not like now, when nobody even carries cash anymore.
Yes. So we get them check in room 17 and 18. There are two rooms next to each other. We get Angst in My Pants by Sparks playing. And we see them going through their routines here. But here, just to go back for a second, here's the thing about fake names. Let me tell you the person I am. I would spend so much time thinking of a fake name. And then here's the problem. If somebody got the fake name or the reference, I'd be like, oh, well, they're going to know it's fake. So I try and come up with something more obscure. It's a delicate balance. You know?
Yeah, it is.
A good fake name is one that's not obviously fake.
Do you give a fake name at Starbucks?
I have done that before because there was a period of time in the before times where it was very common, especially in the early 2000s, like you would walk around with the Starbucks cup all day and that was like your name tag or your badge.
Right.
And with my name, people would misspell it sometimes. Not that Glenn is a complicated name, but people would mishear it. So for a while, I would just say something easy to understand to make sure I could hear it. So for a while, I was saying like Duke or something that was just like really easy to understand.
I had an album on my Facebook back in the day of how many ways you could spell Isa. It's a three-letter name. And I would go to Starbucks every day and they would like butcher it every single time. And I'm convinced. Well, they used to say that, you ever hear that theory that they did it on purpose so people would post about it so it would give Starbucks more like promotion or whatever. But yeah, but I done this. I given them a fake name and then forgotten that I gave them a fake name and they're screaming this name and I'm waiting for my drink.
It happened.
It happened to me.
We used to drive the 5 freeway going from San Francisco to Los Angeles and we would see some of the exit signs and we would see Rolly Road and be like, Rolly Road, I'm going to become a private detective. My name will be Rolly Road. And that would be my alias that I travel under. And then I think the one that we'd always see would be the exit for Button Willow McKittrick. And be like, I'm Button Willow McKittrick. I'm a private investigator. There's always a private investigator. There's always Button Willow McKittrick, PI.
Yep.
Yeah. But so they get these two rooms next to each other. And they're both looking in the fireplace. And we get this great split screen montage where they're putting the remote in the plastic bag.
They're the same person. Literally the same person.
Walter is using the UV light to inspect around things. Misty is just looking around. They're checking for bugs in the phone, in the lamp. And I like that they're both tossing and turning, and you can see they're not longing for one another yet, but you see that sort of impulse or moment where, like, I wonder what there, should we? I thought that's where it was going, but it didn't. And maybe we'll find out in the next episode that they did.
No, not yet.
You want to see that scene? Yet. You don't want that to be an off-screen scene.
Yeah, no, I need to see the moment, you know?
The way they're both brushing their teeth. This was
great. So cute. This whole thing was very cute.
Even the sleep sounds that they're setting up. They're so perfect for each other. And even the mask, they're doing the face mask. She's doing the under eyes.
Oh, my God. I die laughing. She puts on the little gold eye patch, and then he puts on the whole gold mask. And I was like, well, I mean, he's a multimillionaire. I would assume he can afford the whole gold mask.
What is that therapy? I'm not as familiar with that one.
They use, like, this extract of, like, depends on which kind you get of, like, 24-karat gold or whatever. I've used the eye patches. I'm not a bougie like Walter, but they're supposed to help with your eye bags, and they kind of deep off your eyes.
Okay, what's really...
And they make you shiny. You glow. It makes your skin glowy.
So, interesting detail. They have the exact same apps on their phone home screen.
Wow, you're digging deep over there.
Same apps, same order of the apps too. Like, I love they that. Are identical. The only difference is Walter has a different background. I can't quite make out what it is, but
is the first app Reddit, because they've been living on Reddit.
No, not Reddit. Strangely, Reddit is not on there. I'm going to take a screenshot of this for later. But no, that's a fun detail. She has a white phone case. He has a black phone case. And then they're picking their noises to sleep. I believe she is picking. Oh, now I got to go back and look at it.
Somebody picked something with a kitty.
Yes, I think he was picking like a napping cat.
Yeah.
Sounds, which is interesting. I haven't tried that. I use an app called Better Sleep that is a mix of like brown noise and green noise that I am hooked on sleeping to now. Like I found the right mix. So she is sleeping to Birds of the Tropics. He is sleeping to Sleep Kitty.
I don't use any of that, but it's going to sound really bad. I never plan on just going to sleep. I kind of just pass out when my body's done. Like I started yesterday at 9 a.m. and I'm still sitting here going. So I guarantee you I'm going to sit down when we're done and just pass out. That's just how I function.
Yes.
But I will say one thing, rare. I do fall asleep with my hand on Roman. And when I travel, I have a hard time when I can't find him because that puts me to sleep.
So Jeff and Shauna are in the kitchen. Jeff is still not over the affair. Understandable. They're worried. He's a little worried about things with the police. And Shauna thinks everything's going to be okay and then tells Jeff that Callie knows.
Yep. Messy Shauna.
Yes. It's interesting, though, that Callie... I mean, do you think she's... She's got to be a little scared, but her saying, okay, hey, I've been sneaking out at night and going to drink with friends at the park. I'm not going to do that anymore. Like her being honest. Do you think this is fear or do you think she's like trying to?
I think she's trying to help. They're not letting her.
Yeah. But she could slice the
cucumbers. She feels a little more included, right? Now that she knows and everybody knows what's up, they can be a nice little family of criminals. You have one that's okay. Shauna is messy criminal, and Jeff apparently is a bad criminal, according to Shauna in tonight's episode. So maybe Callie can be the hope in this family of criminals. Maybe she can be the good criminal.
Yes. Cucumbers. Also, it's funny that when you looked at the text earlier in the episode with her friend, they were going to meet up at a miniature golf place. And I think Jay the undercover cop? I think that was the cop.
I believe so.
Yeah. She's... Yeah, that's not over. The police investigation isn't over. Like, this is the calm before the storm, I'm afraid. Natalie's having a hot bath to warm up after being in the ice and being
freezing.
Well,
her face
cold.
Fell in the ice water, yeah.
Yeah, but when she got out, I'm sure the cold water dripped, not pleasant. But it's nice that she gets to take a warm bath.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware they had the tub there, which is good because I mean that's and well I'll tell you the other good thing about the fact they were traveling is that people had their toothbrushes with them and probably they've got enough toothpaste. Like they're grungy but they're not, it's not terrible, you know.
Yeah.
These are the things I think about being in the woods, you know.
Yeah, you know what, it's really funny because I have like a traveling little, I always checking a bag when I travel because I pack a lot, right? And I was staying at an A-loft, and I forgot my toothpaste, so I went downstairs to ask for the little complimentary one that they give you, you know? But they had none, so they gave me a full size. So oh, wow. If I'm in the wilderness, we're going to have toothpaste for a while, because I just kept it in my bag as my traveling toothpaste now. It's big. We can brush our teeth for a while, Glenn, if we're ever stuck in the wilderness.
So they bring in Lottie and they say, we found a trail of blood and we found her where the hunter's plane was. So we know the plane was not really there in case you had any suspicion. They bring Lottie in. Thank God there's a warm bath ready to go. Natalie gets out of it and they're going to get Lottie into it to warm her up. She was freezing to death, bleeding. And I love this moment between Lottie and Natalie of saying good game, like, teasing each other about losing.
I love that Lottie started immediately talking crap.
Yeah.
It was a cute side of Lottie that we don't really see.
Yeah. And they shook hands. That's sportsmanship.
Yeah, they shook hands and it goes like, and you see them today, you know, there's a relationship developing here that's making sense as grown-ups.
Yes. They didn't.
I don't think Natalie is not being mean. She's not being mean to Lottie or anything like that. You can tell they get along. It's just that they live two complete different lifestyles.
Yeah. No, I thought this was a very, very nice moment.
I liked it a lot.
Present day Lottie is going through her gratitude entries, and we see that shot from the trailer, the I'm grateful for my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then revealing a queen with the eyes crossed out. A queen of hearts with the eyes.
No eyes, and no ice queen, and no ice queen.
Oh, look at that. Heart, like Biscuit's heart.
Oh, or the bear's heart.
Bear's, well, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to prove, you know. And she comes back. It's not an illusion. That is real. She's not envisioning that. She is seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering now, okay, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, this theory.
Okay.
Is there another survivor unaccounted for who is fucking with Lottie, took out the therapist? Like, is there revenge going on? Because somebody put that queen with the crossed out eyes there. Somebody did this at the cult. Are we going to find out if Mari did survive? Mari is just like pissed off at Lottie. Is somebody, is there another survivor we're going to meet at the end of the season?
That's a good theory. I hadn't thought about that. But you would think that Mari will be the first person to join the cult. She's like Lottie's number one believer.
I don't know. Maybe it's Crystal. Maybe
as of
Crystal
right
survives.
Now, we don't know, right?
Maybe
we
Crystal survives and is pissed off. Think about it.
It's possessed Javi.
It could be it possessed Javi. I mean, by the way, also that, like, okay, I'm staking my claim to this theory.
Okay.
There's another survivor. The thing that happened with Travis, of how he, quote unquote, accidentally died. Because I think Lottie's story was true, but I think the mysterious going up, I think there might be another survivor. Did we find out in the blackmail that it was? Because when they remember the original mystery of the show was who's sending the postcards.
Right.
We don't know that. Didn't Jeff, I mean, maybe someone in the comments could say, I feel like there was something at some point that suggested the postcards were not sent by Jeff. That could be someone else.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. I just can't recall right now because it's like very late, but I remember that there was something that wasn't a part of what Jeff was doing. I just can't recall right now what it was. So you might be onto something with this.
So I think there could be another survivor or survivors that we're going to meet at the end of this season or in season three. Well, and in fact, this has already been renewed for season three. Like, it's a mystery box show. Present day, we have seen Lottie is not the evil figure that, who the fuck is Lottie Matthews at the end of season one. We've been swerved a little bit on Lottie being the big bad of the series. Maybe
it's
there
Thaisa.
Is. Thaisa
is the evil one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. But Lottie goes out and is pleading with her altar. She has an altar here.
Yeah, she cuts her hand and she says something like, isn't this enough? Or haven't you had enough? Something to the point that I made earlier. This is a very bloodthirsty entity.
Yes. Man, I'm very intrigued. I didn't even thought about that with the Queen of Hearts. I just saw that originally and sort of accepted it. But who knows?
With no eyes, like the man with no eyes that Thaisa sees.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It could be Ty. It could be Ty. Could be
Issa.
She's
the Antler Queen.
Could be. So we see Ty back in the 90s. And we see Van.
Yeah.
And Van is finding a tree where. So I'm trying to figure this out. There's the green around the tree where it looks like the snow has melted. Oh, here was my first thought on this. I was like, did Javi pee on that tree stump? And that's why the snow was melted?
Yeah, I thought the same.
Okay, good. but they see a running figure, Van and Ty. Like, where the fuck did he come from? And they chase after him. He trips and falls. And it's Javi. And they're like, hey, we're not going to hurt you.
Why would he run away? Because he's possessed. Well, he's not really Javi.
No, but
wouldn't
Doom
you
coming.
Think that if he's being lost? Okay. Oh, yeah, Doom you're coming. Right. He ran away because he thought they were evil. Okay.
Kishana did the Bray Wyatt run to him. And he saw the shit going down and got the hell out of there, you know?
Yeah. But they were all high. He's got to be coming down from it.
Yeah. Then we cut back to the cult. Lisa's showing off the goldfish to everyone. Natalie has the keys, is looking at the keys and looking at Lottie's office. So I think we know what's going to happen there. But she just got those keys. Oh, actually, you know what? Oh, shit. Do you think she's looking at the keys because she's about to go in there, or was she in there and did she put that queen in there?
No. Oh, stop. That's good.
So yeah, maybe Natalie did that. My theory still stands about another surviving Yellow Jacket, but it's also plausible that Natalie... Yeah,
Natalie's the only person that had that access.
And Natalie is sticking around. People that were listening earlier that figured that out before I just figured that out, people are like, what the fuck is going on about this other survivor theory and whatnot? And that still could happen. But Natalie, based on what she's doing with Lisa and based on putting that queen in the Daily Gratitudes, like, Natalie's got an agenda, you know?
Yeah.
So there you go. Maybe one, maybe the other. But back in the 90s, the big story is that Javi, and everyone is like, this is impossible, because it's been months, right? I mean,
how did he stay alive outside of being possessed?
I don't know. I mean, I assume he went back to the plane. I mean, we're going to find out probably in the next episode.
He still will freeze to death. He's possessed.
I don't know.
Don't they say when a ghost is around, it gets really cold? So imagine if a ghost enters you, you'll be able to handle the cold.
Issa, he made it through the wilderness. He finally made it through.
I made it through the wilderness. Good for Javi.
But no, he's there and he's not talking. So yeah, he could be possessed. Now, wouldn't it be weird if it was Jackie's ghost?
That possessed him?
Yes. But he is blank. He's not talking. He's in shock. Travis is very happy, saying it's me, it's your brother. Like, everyone's very happy he's there. He's down to be hugged, which is good. And of course, Mari's first thing is like, Lottie was right.
Yeah. Don't you? She's like number one fan.
Yeah. You know what people say? Like, oh, no one's keeping score. No one's keeping score. Mari's keeping score.
She's Mari's a Lottie stan. She probably writes to the cult mailbox every day.
And then to your point, Van is like, she knew he was alive. You knew where he was because they were going out and looking for the symbols and looking for the bottom of the symbol, the hook. And that's when they found him.
Yeah. But you got to remember, did Lottie know that he was alive, or did Lottie say this to help Travis, to make him feel better, to help him in that moment, not really knowing whether he was alive or not?
Lottie looks shocked. I'm looking at her expression.
I know. Yeah. Which is why I think she might have said that to Travis as a way to help him make it through his trauma at that moment, because she likes to help people.
Yeah.
And give them hope. And she made like a speech about hope at that moment. So she said it just for hope. She didn't know. But not Ty, though. Ty knew exactly where he was.
Yeah. Then we have Ty, speaking of Ty finding people, pulling up in front of While You Were Streaming, which is Van's video store. And it's got a big VHS tape. I'm assuming they have DVDs also, but it'd be kind of baller.
No, I hope they only have VHS. Yeah.
Once she's talking to someone, a customer, about, oh, if you can get your player to work. And yeah, here we see it. Here we see adult Van finally. End of episode four, Lauren Ambrose.
Ah, she's perfect. She's so perfect.
She's so good as Van. I think she got the voice, the mannerisms. She doesn't recognize Ty at first. You can see
how do you not recognize Ty? Like, she was a little beat up. It's Glenn, she's all over the news everywhere. She's a state senator.
But
you mean to tell me that Ty can track her down? It doesn't matter Ty can track her down all the way to the middle of nowhere, and Ty being a public figure, Van is not gonna recognize her. No, I don't buy it.
I never knew who my state senator. I could not name a single state senator when I lived in California. I can't name one from any place I've ever lived.
Did you date one? Was one the love of your life while you were lost in the wilderness? No, you're not gonna just forget.
So let's talk for a second about some of the movie posters and the movie names in Van's video store. And Van doesn't seem super stoked to see Ty. She seems like, oh, but this isn't like
she wasn't angry either.
No, I know, but she's processing her feelings. We'll find out more next week.
Please, I'm sorry, Simone. I know she's in the hospital struggling, fighting for her life right now, but this is who Ty is meant to be with.
Okay.
I just hope Simone gets to keep Steve if they get divorced or whatever.
Yeah, do not let Ty have a dog. So up on the marquee, we have Bound. Obvious connection there. Wayne's World. Mean Girls, which is funny. Into the Wild, Footloose, Varsity Blues, and Trainspotting. Okay, so Bound.
Wow, no Alive?
I know. So Bound is a reference to her, could be seen as a reference to her and Ty's relationship. Mean Girls, obviously about cliques and social groups. Into the Wild, Varsity Blues, they were on the varsity soccer team. Trainspotting and Footloose. I mean, Footloose is kind of a Coach Ben reference.
Yeah.
Trainspotting, we don't know yet. Maybe when they get rescued, they find a train track. Or maybe they follow the train track to civilization.
Maybe.
In Wayne's World, I don't know what the tie-in would be there yet. I mean, aside from the fact it's still an awesome comedy.
Right.
But that's interesting, though, that there's connections on some of these.
They pay so much attention to detail that I'm not surprised.
Yes. We also see in the tight shot, there's some movie posters, and there's a skull with like a ceremonial headdress on the skull, which I think is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Yeah, so we'll see how that ties in. So they recognize each other, and then we go to the credits.
Yep. Ah. Such a good episode.
So good.
I love seeing Adult Ben. I want to know what happened. Why didn't they stick together? I have so many questions.
Yeah. This was so great and powerful just to see them reunited.
And now, do you think that Ben knows? Do you think that we get to a point in the wilderness that Ben helps Ty with whatever she's going through, and Ben is the only person that can figure it out, and that's why Ty's there?
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what it is. Okay. But I think at some point, I'm just speculating here, I think Van got tired of Ty's. Maybe Van was more interested in exploring this than Ty was.
Maybe Van was more interested in exploring it in a positive manner and Ty wasn't. I mean, think about it. We see the death of Biscuit and the whole freaking altar and everything. Next day, she's state senator. She sacrificed the dog to get that. She knows what to do to get what she wants. So she's using it for power instead of for good. Maybe that's why Van walked away.
Yeah. And we'll find out. This was a great episode. This episode was...
I loved it.
And I feel like we're saying this about every episode this season, but this episode gave us some big payoffs, moved things forward, and here we are. We're halfway until the season finale. 9 episodes this season.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
This was episode 4, so 4 more, and then the finale for the season.
I'm so sad.
I know. It's crazy.
I really hope that season 3 doesn't take as long to come out.
Well, we'll see. Got some listener mail. Kath sent a Kath with a K sent a DM saying she's doing a rewatch of season 1 to fill the void, and now it hits so much differently. Thaisa's face when she's at that party and they have the pig head and someone saying, "I want the ear," knowing that Ty ate Jackie's face. Ty's expression now is much different given what we know.
Yeah, I really want to do. I was going to do a rewatch of season 1 before we started. Thank you, Kat, for sending that. I was going to do a rewatch of season 1, and I decided, nope, I'm going to do it when I can just go straight into watching all 2 seasons together. But I do go back and think of moments of season 1 that make so much more sense now.
Also interesting, which has a bit of a tie-in, Sonia sent an email saying that could have been a moose that Natalie saw when she was on the plane, or a white caribou. And the white caribou, there's mythology about the white caribou. It's enchanted. one, they're sacred. So Natalie's shooting at that. The what happened with the moose later tonight could have been like nature being like, you tried to kill the white caribou. Like, I'm not giving you this other moose.
Right. You don't deserve the blessings. Remember how Lottie calls them always blessings or offerings?
Yes.
Yeah, and she might have messed with that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There's legend where the white caribou is able to shapeshift into human form.
Whoa. I'm
looking into this. Yes, look up the white caribou. Thank you for that theory, Sonia. If you have theories you want to send in, we are at yellowjacketsbuzz@gmail.com. We appreciate everyone reaching out. And thank you for all the positive feedback and everything this season. I know it's been a bit different because these episodes drop Thursdays where Issa is at 1 a.m. where I am at 9
p.m. It's 3:37 right now. And I know. I'm sitting here talking Yellow Jackets with you. There's no way I could have gone to sleep after that episode, though.
I know.
There is absolutely no way. Like, I needed to talk about it immediately.
And so we're trying to get these out. I think that we're trying to be as deep as we were last season, but last season, because of the way it hit streaming and then going online, I feel like we had a little more time in between, but we're trying to get these out now. I think we're going to have some guests in the back half of the season, but with the schedule, because we do so late at night, that's been getting in the way of some guest bookings. And I still feel like we're doing long episodes and giving these episodes their proper respect. But yeah, I definitely want to make sure that we're updating from week to week as theories evolve and we figure things out. I just opened up Reddit for the first time, and user Lang Hai has compiled all the movie posters and staff pics that were in Van's rental place. Rosemary's Baby was one of the posters there. Airplane.
Oh, God.
That's it's awesome. A Wonderful Life. And maybe Creepshow. So, yeah, very, very interesting. Man, I am so excited for next week. I feel that way every time we get done with one of these episodes where I'm just like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what happens next.
I know. I felt that way about this one. And I, like I told you, I also feel like, oh my God, I need to talk about this episode like right now.
Yeah. It was so good.
I'm so happy to see Adult Van. Just waiting for it. I'm glad they introduced her here. We still have halfway to go. I was like, please don't wait until like the last few episodes to introduce her. I think we're gonna get a lot of Adult Van.
Yeah. We'll see. So yellowjacketsbuzz@gmail.com, yellowjacketsbuzz on Instagram, yellowjacketsbz on the Twitter. I am at Glenn Rubenstein. Issa is at NYC Demon Diva. That's Diva with a one. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more of Yellow Jackets Buzz. Take care.